It's 8 o'clock on the Mornings with Ed show, and I started the program an hour ago talking about the absolute and utter disappointment in seeing the crowds on the beach here in Laguna Beach. So much so that the city council and the mayor were forced to take down our baskets from the basketball courts because people just couldn't be trusted to be out there, first of all. And then our beaches. The mayor called an emergency meeting of the city council yesterday and closed our beaches at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Now, the mayor has also sent a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom about advising people to stay not only at home, but in their communities and not travel in, as a lot of the people on our beaches were from out of town. So with that said, with everything going on, I have on the line someone very important to the cause. It's Emergency Department RN Supervisor and Critical Care Transport RN Mark Groff, a frontliner and first responder. Mark, thanks for being here this morning.
Good morning, Ed. Glad to be here with you. I wish we were here on better terms, you know, but take it as we go.
Oh, gosh. Now, when you hear these things, when you hear me telling you about all the people on the beaches, what do you see? What does that make you think?
Ed, here's the problem. I think people are trying to grip with a fear that's not quite set in yet. They're home. They don't know what to do. For a lot of people, it's like spring break. And I'm going to backstep a little bit because let's go back to, if you'll humor me for a minute.
Sure.
Came across a newspaper article from January. It was the day that Kobe Bryant had crashed. And in that article, we were kind of an outpouring. At that time, I can't really disclose certain things, but we had patient zero, patient number one in Orange County in the hospital. I remember talking to my pharmacist that very morning as this is unfolding. Found the article, found the small thing, very little blurb in the corner mentioning this coronavirus, right? At that time, it was played down. It's been played down. It's only until this last week as everybody kind of jumped on the bandwagon and said, my God, this is real. The butcher's bill is climbing. What do we do?
Right.
That being said, I live in a little beach town. I used to live down your way. I'm up here in the shore. Same thing here. People are out in mass. They're at the beach. They're at the... they're having to be told, police are told in the next step, they're going to come in and actually start enforcing and pushing people apart. I don't think the message is quite giddy there. I don't think it's been stressed enough. Going back full circle, so much was downplayed. Oh, it's a small flu. Oh, you'll get a tickle. Oh, it's only going to affect the old people. So there's an entire generation going, it doesn't really bother me.
Right. Right. But you know differently. As a healthcare professional, you know differently. And my question to you is, are we 2 weeks too late? Are we 3 weeks too late? Are we following that Italian model too closely?
Well, here's the thing, and I found some interesting news. I've been going through trying to not only look at research, what we're doing here in the States, and I want to freeze everything here. Here's our problem, and this doesn't just date back now. Mike Bowen, company Procedure Meritech. Now, they're one of the last manufacturers of personal protective equipment left in this nation.
Okay.
Everything has been outsourced, and this is going back 3 to 4 presidential terms, not just with this current guy in office,
right.
Past Obama, past Bush. They've always said a nation that can't feed themselves is at the mercy of another nation will become weak. Well, we become a nation that we cannot supply our own protective equipment during this crisis, and that is where we are right now, and that's the key. We are all vectors.
Right.
Whether you think you are or not, you're young, you're healthy, you're carrying it, you're picking it up, and you're bringing it to the next place. You're walking into Starbucks. You're opening a door handle. You've got now what's called a fomite. You may have seen this in a movie. You may have heard of it, but this is how we're spreading this. We pick this up. We move on to the next thing. We press an elevator button. We touch something. Somebody touches that. And I guarantee you, people don't clean like we should.
Right.
Whole other issue. So, yeah, this is something that... Are we too late? No, but we need to take it seriously. We need to stop everything in its tracks, and people just aren't getting the message, Ed.
I think, and I asked for, at the top of my program, I asked for toughness. And toughness isn't what it used to be in World War II, where you're defending your country with a rifle. Toughness at this point is really just simply asking people to stay at home for 3 weeks. a month.
Yeah, we've become a, I don't want to talk nasty, I hate to say it, because we've led a very privileged life.
Right.
Even post 9/11, we bounced back really quick because the enemy at that time, we were able to defeat quickly. Then we went over, blew up some bombs in some countries. We felt good. We have an invisible enemy now that knows no borders, that, you know, come on, we could go back politically. We could break this around. We spent the last year arguing over a wall that obviously this virus knows how to move right through.
Right.
Now we're where we are today. And I really want to emphasize to your listeners and people out there that there is so much more to this than meets the eye. This week, the CDC opened up and said this is going to be the worst week yet. If anybody understands the term R-naught, if they've talked about it, look it up. This thing's developing. So one meets two, two meets four, and it moves on quickly. I could backpedal on this. You know, we're kind of a victim of our own thing. And here's the thing, and I was discussing, and I worked alongside infection control a few years ago in the hospital. And the one thing that really aggravated me, and I'll make my point brief, but everybody has now walked somewhere where you go to the bathroom and you have these automated sinks and dispensaries that give you a half an inch of paper towel and a dribble of water. Have you seen them? You've gone into a restaurant somewhere. You know, remember when you used to be able to just run the water, wash your hands,
right,
and then dry them?
Right.
Well, in by trying to cut costs, I guarantee I watch it. People, they come in, they get a dribble of water, a little bit of soap. They say, screw it, I'm going to dry my hands on my clothes. You see this in hospitals, and it drove me crazy. So I brought it to the administrator of the first hospital involved. I said, how are we promoting, this is before a viral outbreak, you know, hand hygiene, when our sinks don't give us enough water, there's no hot water, you get a half an inch of towel because we're cutting costs there. Or we're trying to save water because we're in a drought. And I know that sounds horrible to say because we should save water, but in and by doing so, we put ourselves at risk because people cannot clean themselves. So we went to hand gel. Well, hand gel is great if you know how to use it. And most people slap it on and they walk away. Friction, 20 seconds, and I don't know if you've timed yourself, 20 seconds is a lot longer than it seems.
Right.
Just like, remember how mom and dad told you to brush your teeth for a certain time.
Right.
So we're here now. We are, an interesting article that came up, there's a doctor out of Hong Kong. When they had their outbreak, they followed some of the Wuhan protocols with the exception of not any of their personnel got sick. None of their healthcare professionals. And his message was, it wasn't so much about panic, it was just proper hygiene and basic protection. They weren't coming in wrapped up in like they were going to pick up ET, but they all had unlimited access to basics.
Right.
You remember when what's that guy that drives me crazy? Dr. Oz went on TV telling everybody you shouldn't wear a mask, you shouldn't do this.
Right. What a hack.
Okay, here's the thing about, there's two ways. The surgical mask, the one that you see everybody think, yes, they don't protect you, but here's what they do. They keep you from hitting somebody else. Every time we speak, just talking, little spit, little dribbles, little whatever, travel 6, 10, 12 feet. And had everybody been able to have those in play, that's such a huge reducer also in just the face-to-face conversations, the
right.
spread.
Now, Mark, speaking of masks, how are you? You see a lot of hospitals. You visit a lot of hospitals here in Orange County and L.A. County.
Yeah.
What is the mask situation?
This is why I want to bring this back to you. One, we should all have them, but we don't, so we're being told we need them for healthcare providers. This is the shameful point, and this is where everybody in the administration on down should be completely ashamed. They've tossed us into third worldism of the fact that we don't have product. Going back to Mike Bowen, the one last company in Texas that makes masks, 95% of our personal, what we call personal protective equipment, is made overseas. We are now at the beck and call of our foreign people that our current administration loves to consistently get on and berate and talk down to. And now they're looking at us going, well, guess what? I guess you need us.
Right.
So, yes, we are backordered. Everybody's backordered.
So
there was a run on them when people saw it coming. Some people tried to profiteer. Shame on them. They should go to jail.
And agreed. And are hospitals bidding against each other for the same box of masks?
They're bidding, and unfortunately, hospitals, you got to think of it a lot like the casino industry, which you were familiar with. There isn't the independence. There's a lot of big box now. A lot of people have swept up the hospital, so you have very large corporate conglomerates here in Orange County. You've got Providence, which has pretty much swooped up almost everything out of Orange County. Now, they've got, in the good sense, is that gives them buying leverage so they can buy in bulk.
Right.
They can outbid, but that's what we've become. Yesterday, just kind of, because in my profession, I'm everywhere. Right. I'm in both counties, so we're up and down. I see what's going on from SC to Cedars-Sinai to UCLA, down to Mission, down to Hoke. So I'm kind of all over the place and just watching the different ways people are handling. But I can tell you right now that personal protective equipment, it's gold. It's on lockdown. In some hospitals, the poor staff members have to go see their charge to get a change of mask. It's almost like begging. It drives me crazy, Ed, that I watch people, what used to hang freely. I could walk in a place, grab a wad of these masks, change them out 15 times in dealing with a patient, which is my practice to do, constantly keeping stuff up. Right. Now it's like I walk in, they look at me like I'm a, you know what I look like? I get looked like the kid that's about to rip off the 7-Eleven when we hit the door. Lock up the mask, the ambulance guys are here. Oh my God, they're going to take some. That's what we've been reduced to.
Right.
And this is what we're facing right now.
Now, since you mentioned ambulance, I want to talk to you about ventilators. So there's a proposition to retrofit ambulance ventilators and use them in hospitals. What's the difference in the two?
Well, here's the thing, Ed, and I'm not going to claim to be an RT, and God bless them, they specialize in that. Most of the standard ventilators that we use on a rig, they'll provide some basic functions. When this turns into something really extreme,
right?
Now we're talking about roto-prone beds, and we're talking about vents that can do some things. When this goes really into the lungs to the point where, and if anybody's kind of looked up how this disease process starts ripping apart lung cells, filling it up with fluid, it's a lot more than just say, hey, let's pop you on a vent. You just need some help with your tidal volume and your breathing. So for some patients, the reason the retrofit vent works, some patients are getting by with just assisted breathing.
Right.
You know, they need a BiPAP. They need something that says, hey, I'm going to come in and help you ventilate because you're just not being able to exhale and burn off the CO2. That will help. But I can tell you, like, from a standpoint of status, that even on a good day, most hospitals are a couple of vents away from their ICU beds from maxing out. So this is prior to this, because you got to think about it. We haven't had something like this hit where, you know, 80% of your patients are going to come in and everybody's going to need a vent.
Right.
You know, vents are for extreme situations. Your average ER keeps 2 to 3 around. You've got your RTs running around hustling one off. You fill that ICU up with a vent patients and we are out of business.
Right.
So I applaud the people that have stepped forward. Even Elon Musk has said, hey, I'm going to flip over and start building vents. I mean, it's a simple process. It's getting it out on time.
Now, but, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying, I really want to go back and press on this issue where we dropped the ball on basic hygiene. Going back to the Hong Kong doctors, it's not so much as if are we where Italy is can we get Americans to do a couple of things. One, the hospitals should not be restricted. We shouldn't be having to ration masks. We shouldn't have to be rationing soap, water, and towels. Take off the limiters. Let people wash their hands 100,000 times a day. We're going to have to waste some water here. We can fix that in the vacuum, but right now we need to open up the floodgates. We need masks. We need N95s. We need protective gear. We need face shields, and everybody needs to have them on. We're picking and choosing. A year ago, you would have walked into the ER waiting room and every patient would have been masked up because that was protocol to stop the spread of the flu.
Right.
Now we're sitting there in a petri dish. That's another thing. ERs, I'll say this one thing, and I want to tip my hat off to OCFA, your local fire department. Paramedics are screening in the field and they are really, really getting their assessments down, which means people used to just go to the hospital and then paramedic would say, okay, let's go.
Right.
Well, they're not doing that right now. They're treating in the field and they're keeping them in the field. If you can stay home, if you don't need to be in that ER, they're not bringing you in.
Okay.
So there is a huge fall off of what I want to call the random, should I go, should I not go? So they're stepping up and they're doing field triage and they're looking and they're using their judgment. They are talking with their base hospitals. Do I need to bring this patient to the hospital? Can they wait? need to come in.
Should eventually paramedics and ambulances be equipped with testing equipment?
Well, they talked about a rapid test system, and yes, that would be amazing if we had that already on our feet. I mean, with any virus, you know, it's not like in the movies, if you remember Outbreak, Contagion. I mean, it seems like they grab a test and they have it within a day, and boom, it's right. Once they figure this out, and then they can get a rapid kit going. Like right now, we have the ability to rapid test for flu and for certain strains. We have the rapid, you know, be able to test for strep, some of these things, because they've been around and we've been able to figure that out. So there's a company, I can't name the name, that says they're going to have one that's going to result in 45 minutes. Right. In a perfect world, we would have those mobile. We would be able to test everybody on as they walk in, as they're in the street, and then treat accordingly. And then we could designate hospitals that would strictly be a COVID-19 receiver, so that we're not putting healthy people next to sick people, healthy people next to sick people. I want to say that here in Long Beach, we expect Mercy to be, she leaves San Diego today. She's going to port out here. Now, that's going to be a relief hospital. I know we're getting a lot of base, but they're not going to take virus patients. They're going to try to offload the need so that other hospitals can treat.
Right, that's a
so
thousand beds, right?
Yeah, 1,000 beds. So you're going to have a floating med-surg hospital sitting off the coast of the L.A. Harbor that's going to be able to offload and take some of the weight off the hospitals for the patients that are not acute for this, that are there for other reasons, your ortho patients, your healing from an osteo, whatever they're in for. Right. They're going to be able to use that ship. The leasing of St. Vincent Hospital, which recently closed, I want to say, and don't quote me on this, the amount of beds, 300 to 400 beds. They're talking about making that an actual receiving so that they could, you know, ISO these patients into one main hospital.
Right. What do you think
these are some of the plans.
What do you think about what they did in South Korea, where they designated certain hospitals to be exclusively COVID-19 hospitals?
Well, that's what we're talking about with St. Vincent is making that a COVID-19 hospital, because every time you, right now, there is a COVID-19 patient pretty much sitting in every hospital Southern California, whether they know it or not.
Right.
Every hospital I've talked to has at least one, or they're ruling out one. I don't care where you are. You've got a patient in there that's a time bomb and it's working. So we need to get those patients ISO'd into a couple spots.
Right.
Not everybody's going to respond the same way. Some people, this is going to pass through as a yucky flu, but my concern is the immunocompromised, the elderly. You have personal experience with having a family member with somebody with, you know, a pulmonary disease. Yeah. These are the folks that are going to suffer.
Right.
And as it keeps spreading around. But you talk about anger. We saw this coming. Nobody wanted to listen to it. The cuts were made 2 years ago to the pandemic program for this very reason, so that we could be ahead of it, not behind it. For some reason, and I don't want to get political, but I'm going to, so I apologize.
Okay, go ahead.
To your readers, but,
hey, you're a first responder. You're giving us truth from that end.
Well, here's the thing is, I never understood it because a lot of my people that I know out there, first responders, are very conservative when it comes to their voting, but conservative politics sometimes backslashes because we like to think that for some reason that we don't live in a world economy and we're not globalized. So the fact that people saw this pandemic response as, well, we're going into other countries first. Well, yeah, that way we stop it from coming here. Kind of like how we responded to Ebola.
Right. Ebola, we went there and trained their doctors, over 25,000
right.
doctors.
The minute over there. Right. This broke out in China, we should have had that team on the ground.
Right.
People sat back and listened to this guy in the White House and assumed that because he just sits there and talks like some, he's the fat kid in the sandbox that pokes fun at everybody, and that's what he did. And it crawled right up, and now it's biting everybody in the butt. And we're still getting bit because it's not getting across. The message isn't getting out there. You watch Governor Cuomo. You watch Governor Gavin Newsom. You watch Los Angeles Mayor State. They're on TV daily pleading, what are you doing? Stay home. So let's bring this full circle, Ed. Right now, all we can do is people that don't have to be somewhere, don't. This isn't spring break. Go to the store, get out, okay. Go back home, take a walk, step away. Laguna Beach, a prime example. It's a beautiful place. Everybody wants to get a little air. Don't when I see them sitting with their beach chairs and piling around, the umbrellas are up, it's like, what is this, folks?
Right.
It's not day, it's a beach day.
Right. It's time to be inside. And again, small sacrifice for the life of even just one person.
Yeah, I read an article the other day during the Spanish flu. I mean, people read. This go back to we didn't have internet, we didn't have cable, and oh my goodness, now what are we going to do with ourselves? So it is first world problems, but it's coming to get us. And so here we are. So today, yesterday I spoke to an associate, one of the larger hospital chains. I said, where are you on supplies as of today? So they're up on surgical masks. They're still rationing N95s. They're still these are one-time use items.
Right.
These are things that you walk in a patient's room that's suspected positive. You wear it. The minute you walk out, you drop it in a red receptacle, a trash bin. You never touch it again.
Right. So even the theory of reusing these masks or washing them or whatever, that's ridiculous. Am I crazy?
Well, it's ridiculous. And unfortunately, because the CDC... somebody up there kowtowed to the administration, and they came online, and they lessened their severity, and they said it's okay to use. And I really hate seeing the CDC sell out because they've always ran independently, even though they're a government agency. I think they're spreading a little bit of false information and some by saying, oh, it's okay, wear a bandana, reuse your stuff. They're saying that because they know we don't have the product.
Right.
They don't want nurses striking. They don't want people running out the door. And this is not a good time to be a nurse or a doctor.
No.
You can talk to a lot of your friends. I got to tell you this, Ed, none of us want to be out there right now.
This is Emergency Department RN Supervisor, Critical Care Transport RN, Mark Groff, a frontliner and first responder. Mark, is there anything else you want to tell our listeners before we go?
Yeah, I mean, Ed, if we could just go back to some basics. Pay attention to the news briefs. Don't bog yourself down with it, but all we're asking for anybody is, and I'll point these out real quick. One, wash your hands. Leave your shoes at the door. Get in, get out. Don't be out wandering around. Just coming around the block. If you don't need to be out, if your job doesn't require it, please be inside. If you don't need to go to the hospital, unless you really have something going on, put it off. Same with elective surgery and all these things. Anything you can do to avoid ground zero, stay away from it. So, you know what? Unless you fell down, hit your head, and you think you're bleeding, this is not the time to be going to the ER for your aches and pains and your refills on your meds.
Okay.
Stay safe.
Mark,
stay your distance.
And I'm as a first responder, I am asking you to please stay safe and come back and visit us sometime.
Absolutely, Ed.
All right, Mark Groff, thank you very much. Emergency Department RN Supervisor, Critical Care Transport RN, and a frontline first responder, one of the important people that we will be talking to today. We've got the Mayor Bob Whalen, coming up during the noon hour. Stick it right here to KXFM.